The reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Excuse me. First fruits and tithes. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." And the New Testament reading is Luke 4, 1 to 13, the temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered to him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until another opportune time.
Before I ask Steve to dim the lights in just a moment, I would just like to thank Tony for helping us with the audio visuals. He was here this Wednesday sorting out technical issues before they happen, and also I would love to just thank Mary for being here on a snowy Sunday. I don't think most in our congregation realize from how far Mary commutes and what she actually does to make sure that she's here on Sunday morning. And thank you also to Steve and Anne for hosting us this evening. Let me just preface my message this morning, which Tony will soon play, with just some information that the Vermont Conference has recently sent out, and I forwarded to many leaders in our church, just regarding the importance of communicating the gospel, which is really good news. Communicating the gospel through different and various means. Some of it is through music, some of it is through scripture, some of it is by preaching, and some of it is by audio visuals. So this morning I would like to just present to you the gospel, the good news, but in a way that is perhaps a little bit different for our congregation. This coming month, there will also be a Wyndham Union Association of the UCC meeting in Bellows Falls. And at that meeting, all of the clergy will focus on how to use a visual medium that is everything from cartoons to movies to documentaries to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I am just part of a larger effort in our wider church to learn and to do new things. Let us hear the word of God.
Thank you.
Today, this morning, we set our clocks back an hour. And though I could...
Forward.
Yeah. I guess so. Though I could use the extra hour of sleep, I'm deeply grateful for gaining, hence the forward, for me, gaining an extra hour of daylight. By setting our clocks back, we are lengthening our day on this, the first Sunday of Lent. And how appropriate, for Lent is actually the old English word for lengthening, and thus it was an old English word for spring. Both our scripture readings this morning have much to do with time. Who thought of the number 40 in both our readings from Deuteronomy and Luke? Deuteronomy recounted how the Israelites were lost and vulnerable in the desert for 40 years. And we saw from the video clip, Jesus prayed and contemplated for 40 days to prepare for his ministry. Rachel Evans wrote that, quote, 40 is a number that symbolizes a prolonged period of hardship, of waiting, of wandering into the wild unknown. For 40 days, Jesus experienced, I think, all that the Israelites did during their 40 years. Not only is Jesus 40 days in the wilderness a sort of microcosm of the story of the Israelite people seeking to be faithful, but it is also a microcosm, I think, of our own lives as well. Remember, in the beginning of the video, in the midst of Jesus' vocation as a carpenter, he questioned the purpose of his life. Remember him just sort of staring at those tools. So Jesus took leave, I guess, and got away to worship. And you saw, as well as I did, Jesus struggled with heat and with cold, as we do in Vermont. I remember how hot it was in July. It keeps my perspective when we have yet another snowstorm. Jesus experienced obstacles and struggles. Remember when he was caught in those brambles. Jesus experienced loneliness and fun. Remember him chasing the chickens. Jesus admired the beauty of the earth and the majesty. Remember him looking at the moon of the universe. And Jesus was hungry. He counted the days, some moving slowly, some moving quickly. Toward the end of his 40 days, when Jesus was most vulnerable, the serpent, you could see it in the background coming to him. The serpent was coming to tempt Jesus. As I read the scripture over and over again, I noticed for the very first time that Jesus was not tempted necessarily to do anything bad. I don't know if you've ever realized that. I certainly haven't, and I've read the scripture for 30 years. Jesus was not tempted necessarily to do anything bad, but to simply forget to whom he belonged and to forget God's purpose for him. That's it. Jesus was tempted to forget that which was most important. But Satan, after trying three times, ultimately had to give up and wait until such a time when Jesus was even more vulnerable to try again. When are we most vulnerable to temptation? This is a question I ask myself. Perhaps it's when we are alone. Perhaps it's when we lack sleep, therefore judgment. Perhaps when we lack food. Perhaps it's when we lack money. Perhaps it's when we lack friends. When we lack an anchor. Many things make us vulnerable. Satan tempted Jesus with things, as I said, that are not in and of themselves bad. Bread. Who here would disagree that one needs to eat? And it's bread, for crying out loud. Actually, bread is pretty good. It's wholesome. Miraculous powers. Remember Jesus on the top of the temple. Not much different from the powers that Moses and God did during the Passover and the parting of the Red Sea. Those were seen as good. Or the overthrow of an oppressive Roman colonization. The last temptation, when Jesus could rule over all kingdoms and maybe even establish the kingdom of God on earth just as it is in heaven. That would in fact also be good, like the other two. Bread, preserving oneself, and political control, none of these things are bad in and of themselves. In fact, all of these things are potentially very good. Bread, miracles, and justice are not bad in and of themselves. Therefore, might I suggest this morning that often it is not that with which we are being tempted that is bad, but rather our motives. One of the many things that I am most proud of as a human being, actually, is what I'm most proud of as a father. My son, throughout his 5 years of high school, would always get comments in his report card. And the comment that happened year after year, semester after semester, is this: Micah does the right thing because it's right. I saw that for 5 years. We can often do the right things for the wrong reasons. The Pharisees made a religion of doing the right things for the wrong reasons. In our story of Jesus' temptation, I believe Jesus was most vulnerable when he began thinking to live for himself and not others. His motives for doing what may have been the right thing began to be perhaps influenced by self-promotion or self-interest. Turning the stones into bread, food for Jesus. Notice in the gospel who he turns bread into for. Bungee jumping from the temple. Safety for Jesus. Ruling over kingdoms. Power for Jesus. What makes us vulnerable to temptation? Often it is self-interest and self-promotion. If you and I eat and are satisfied, perhaps it must be so that we can sustain ourselves to serve others. You see, Jesus could have done great and miraculous things, like throw himself off the temple pinnacle only to be saved, But throughout his ministry, Jesus kept most of his miracles secret, or they were just for a select few. Because to do publicity stunts, and maybe Jesus learned this in the wilderness, to do publicity stunts, such as the one that Satan tempted him to do, would not have led people into a relationship with God based on love, but rather on favors and magic tricks. And thus for Jesus' own vain glory. And finally, to rule over kingdoms of the earth may have been all well and good, but God wished that the kingdom of God dwell within people's hearts, and thus is freely chosen and sought, not imposed by an army or by divine decree. Bread, miracles, power. Jesus was made vulnerable by temptations that were not necessarily bad if accepted, but to accept them for the wrong reasons was perhaps what Jesus resisted. Self-interest and self-promotion cannot be that which motivates us. Jesus' resistance to temptation was extraordinary. And I'm quite sure that if I had not eaten for 40 days, I would have sliced that bread. And I would have asked for mayonnaise, I would have asked for mustard, and I would have put those chickens that Jesus was chasing right in between those two slices of bread. Alive or dead, I would have put the chickens in there. Despite, though, how vulnerable Jesus was, he did not fall into temptation to do things for the wrong reasons. So Satan departed and decided to wait for a more opportune time. When did Jesus feel it would be a more opportune time to tempt Jesus? When would Jesus be the most vulnerable? Well, some might say that it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus asked God for the cup of suffering to be removed from him. Self-interest, quite justifiable, I might add. And others say Jesus' last temptation was either just before or during his execution, when Satan perhaps tempted him. And this is one I also fall prey to. Perhaps Jesus tempted him with a wife, children, a family, grandchildren. All things that in and of themselves are not bad. In fact, they may be good. But if they are good to no one but himself, then all that is good may be sought out of selfish and greedy motivations. Jesus sought to do what was right for others, for humankind, for us, and for all the ages. Let us then, friends, when we are most vulnerable, strive to do the right things because they are the right things to do. How do we judge if something is good? And if it is not for purely personal and individual pleasure? How much does it benefit others? This was the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded.